Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, see how great a love the Father has shown to us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. Because of your sacrifice, Lord Jesus, we now have been adopted into the family of God. We who are great sinners and who have failed in every way, you have loved us before we ever came to you. You loved us while we were yet in our sins. How amazing is that? So tonight we pause to worship and honor you and to glorify you for all that you have done for us. Risen, ascended, seated in heaven, and soon to return and reign upon the earth. We pray, come Lord Jesus. We ask that you would help us, Holy Spirit, tonight as we look at these words from Isaiah, words that are strange to us, but by the Holy Spirit's help, we understand them as they were given, and later by the apostles and the Lord Jesus as they spoke of these things that Isaiah had predicted and promised would come in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we have a wonderful eternal future. How we pray that you would burden us for the lost who have a dreaded, horrible, eternal future if they do not repent and be saved. We recognize, Lord, that the days are short and our time is short, so stir our hearts, stir this church. Forgive us when we are like Laodicea. We don't need anything. We have everything. But you say to us, you actually have nothing. And we pray that you would help us to repent well so that we might be faithful to you, that you'd be pleased with what we do in this church in these days. We thank you for your blessing now. We thank you for the precious privilege of reading the Word of God in our own language. What an honor it is. We pray for those who listen tonight who cannot be with us. We pray your blessing upon them wherever they might be, and that you would encourage them tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right, good to see all of you. I hope you got the outline. You're going to need it tonight. I don't know how far we'll go or how far we'll get, but tonight I'm not going to bet about it, but I would say that perhaps what we'll be talking about tonight is perhaps one of the most neglected truths in all the Word of God. And it is so glorious and so wonderful. It is the foundation of the Lord Jesus' final acts before the end of all things and a new heaven and a new earth come to be. I'm taking you to a place now, tonight, that for many of you will sound very strange. You'll think that the pastor has lost his mind, but I haven't. I hope that you'll learn from these things and take them to heart, and that they will become a regular part of your meditation life when things are really hard. I hope you'll think about these things tonight that we read. So first of all, if you see on the outline, I'd like for you to turn to Isaiah 9. Tonight's going to be a lot of things we'll look at. Some things I'll just refer to. I'll ask you to turn in your Bible. Those of you who are watching us online, I'm sorry this won't be as much of a preaching, exhorting time as it will be a teaching time. So I hope you'll just turn off the volume or shut it off. I hope you'll stay with us and just listen. The outline is on the website. If you're watching and you're able to do that, you can always get the very outline I'm going over with all of our dear brothers and sisters here tonight. Isaiah 9, famous words. We read them at Christmas time. We should read them all the time. Amen. The birth and reign of the Prince of Peace. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. And those who live, it's Isaiah 9, 2. Those who live in dark land, the light will shine on them. For a child, verse 6, will be born to us. A son will be given to us. Please notice, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of his peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish it. I call your attention to the phrase that the child who is born will one day lead a government. The Lord Jesus is this child who was born to us. Counselor, Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There is no end to the increase of his government. And as you see in my notes to you there, the focal truth is this, that Jesus Christ will reign. He will sovereignly reign, literally, physically, from Jerusalem when he comes again for literally 1,000 years. This is a glorious truth. If you pray as I do, it is in my regular practice, I pray the disciples' prayer, I prefer to call it, that the Lord taught us to pray. It helps me as I begin my day to focus myself. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Where is that? That's on the earth. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. Not just today. But you are praying for the coming of this time. I have your notes there. Isaiah 66, 12 to 14. Jerusalem has been destroyed. Some estimate perhaps 9 times. Jerusalem has been in rubble, historically destroyed by every empire. And yet, Jerusalem continues to be the focus of the Word of God and prophecy. I have it here for you, Isaiah 66, and I want you to see this in these introductory things. Just stay with me now. Here we find these wonderful words in Isaiah 66, beginning in verse number 12. It's the joy in Jerusalem's future. I'm talking about literal Jerusalem today, involved in a war, one of many, surrounded by enemies. I'm talking about the Jewish people. I'm talking about Jerusalem, a literal place. Yes, there is a heavenly Zion, but there is an earthly Jerusalem where much is yet to be done in that place. Here's Isaiah speaking now, remember, prior to a captivity of Jerusalem by the Babylonians, but now far from that time, here we are, 20, whatever it is, 24. Be joyful with Jerusalem and rejoice for her, all of you who love her. Be exceeding glad. I'm reading from verse 10, 66:10. Be exceeding glad with her, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied with her comforting breasts, that you may suck and be delighted with her bountiful bosom. For thus says the Lord, behold, I extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you will be nursed, you will be carried on the hip and fondled on the knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. Who's going to be doing the comforting? Well, can you imagine? Written down some of my comments. I want to be careful to say these things. I want this to be on record. Can you imagine a world where justice always prevails on the earth? Where righteousness is the rule of law? Where goodness dominates? where everything is fair and equitable on the earth. Can you imagine a world where there's peace, total and lasting global peace? Can you imagine a world where there is joy and happiness? Can you imagine a world where health is so widespread that if someone dies at 100 years of age, they will be said to die as a child? Can you imagine a world where children can play in all kinds of places we would avoid, snake pits, and they will find snakes to be friendly, and the snakes will find the children friendly? Can you imagine a world where lions and lambs will walk together with bears and cows on the earth? Can you imagine a world where food is profusely plentiful, even though the globe is experiencing the greatest population explosion ever? Can you imagine a world that is ruled by one glorious person, totally, completely righteous, perfect in every way? The whole world, one man who rules and sits on the throne of David in Jerusalem. One perfect mind, one perfect will, one who enacts perfect judgment, perfect wisdom, perfect justice, a loving, perfect ruler. Can you imagine a world where all of the rulers and leaders and politicians who are in charge are believers in Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Can you imagine a world that is basically without rebels? Because they're judged instantly with a rod of iron. You don't have to imagine this and wish that it could be so. It will be so. The Lord Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
And when He comes again, He comes to the earth, just as He left, to do this wonderful thing of reigning for 1,000 years. Jesus Christ, I want to go on record. I stand unashamed to be one of those preachers who says the Lord Jesus Christ will come again and will reign on the earth wherever the sun does run, as the hymn says. This ought to bring you great hope.
Amen.
None of the people in this room need a current event discussion. You don't need the pastor to stand up here and tirade on his opinion about things that are happening in the world. You already know it. You see it. You know more about it than probably you care to know about. But you see, the Lord has work still to be done by the Lord Jesus on the earth. Heaven will be glorious. Heaven is our home. He is preparing a place for us. But there is this time that happens between the judgments of God and then this time upon the earth where for 1,000 years, some of this is new for some of you, 1,000 years, the Lord Jesus will reign from Jerusalem. In order to understand that requires putting together, I don't know if puzzle is the best description, puzzle pieces, but that's somewhat the way it would be. It requires the putting together of prophecy from the Old Testament from a lot of places. And there are powerful, powerful places where this is described. But I want you to now go to Revelation 20. I have to do this introductory work. Go to Revelation 20, and I'm beginning now to talk about point number one. God's Word tells of the coming earthly reign of Jesus Christ before the coming eternal state. The eternal state is what we call the new heaven and the new earth. This old, what are the final things to take place before this old earth is dissolved and rolled up like an old scroll, like an old coat? the Lord Jesus will reign again on the earth. Literally, physically. You must get this in your mind. It's not a spiritual thing. It doesn't remove the importance of heaven now. Heaven as it is will expand into a glorious time called the eternal state or the eternal day. Perhaps we'll talk about that some in the days ahead. So we read now in Revelation chapter 20, familiar words, but they are literal words. They're not like an idea or some kind of a concept or some kind of a spiritual little thing that just talks about how Jesus is in charge. No, this is a real, this is real. When John says, I saw, he saw it. And I don't have time tonight, but in Revelation 19 to 20, you have a series of I saw, I saw, I saw, I saw. It's all progressive. John seeing what's coming, literally. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven. I want you to imagine the power, the power of this angel, who's like us, a servant of God. He's not above us. He's an angel. I saw an angel coming down from heaven holding the key of the abyss. That's the place where the demons begged the Lord Jesus, coming out of that man chained in that tomb, don't send us to the abyss. The demons know what the abyss is. It's a real place. Don't spiritualize this. Read your Bible as it is. Holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil. In Greek we call him diabolos, is that word. Satan is the second word. And bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. Remember, this is global. The earth is a big place. I saw thrones, judgment given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand, and they came to life, resurrected saints, and they reigned. And the implication is they judged and ruled with Christ for 1,000 years. You see, this is the great truth of the Word of God. This is the great hope. The early church, for its first 400 years, this was at the heart of all preaching. Jesus would come and reign again on the earth, lost in time. Lots of reasons for that that are not our point. I want you to hear the great promise of it, because God has things. He will yet glorify Himself through Jesus Christ, not just on the cross, but on the earth. He will be supreme. He will be the King. He will be the sovereign Lord globally of this world. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Jesus is Lord. Jesus will fulfill the promises of the mandate of ruling and subduing the earth. Why would Jesus have to come back? Why would the Lord, in the plan of plans, in His purposes, have the Lord Jesus come back to the earth? Remember the angel's words to the disciples staring at the Lord Jesus as He literally, physically ascended out of their sight. this same Jesus will come back in the same way to the earth. Well, why? Here are the answers. A, he will fulfill the promises and the mandate of ruling and subduing the earth. Let him have dominion. This was the mandate. Full dominion will be given to the Lord Jesus. Dominion. There will be fruitfulness and multiplication, and the earth will be replenished in a way. You see, Paul, we have these little hints all through the Word of God. Do you hear the groan of creation? Do you hear the groan of creation today? Because of the sinfulness of man, it has affected the very creation and all of the created order. Do you hear the groan? It is the groan for the Lord Jesus to come again to the earth. Jesus Christ will fulfill the promise of ruling as the ultimate Son of David over the entire earth. Remember the promise? We read it at Christmas time, but we should read it all the time. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. And that throne is in Jerusalem. That's the throne of David. Zechariah is quite powerful. Oh, my frustration tonight is, this is a summary. Pat told me before I left, you're preaching a summary. That's from a woman who'd been married to me 50 years almost. You know what she was saying. Keep moving. But oh, I call your attention to Zechariah 14. You should go home and read it. Look at this great statement. The Lord shall be king over the earth. Did you hear Levi's words from the psalm tonight? In the psalm, there were words about ruler, one who reigns. Oh, the Lord Jesus is the king of all the nations in heaven tonight, but he will be back on the earth, reigning and ruling over all the nations. Jesus Christ will defeat his enemies from the great tribulation. There is coming a time of great trouble, the Lord said. And we read in Revelation 19 there, the beast was taken and the false prophet, they were taken, these enemies that Satan had used as his puppets, and they were cast into the lake of fire. He will defeat his enemies that are tied to the evil one, Satan. Jesus will imprison Satan for 1,000 years. He will be incarcerated. When you're in jail, you can't do, you know, an enemy, someone who's done harm to people is put in jail. They're not able to do anything. Their power is stopped. They don't have the ability to control or to harm. Can you imagine 1,000 years with no interference from the evil one? I want you to think about what I'm saying. It's almost unbelievable. It's almost unimaginable. But this is what draws us great confidence, because this is the ultimate statement that God will be gloriously magnified through the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth before this earth is done. And there comes to be a new heaven and earth. I don't have time to, I mentioned, I should have added it in, but now let's just pause. Again, another one. I knew this was going to happen. It's already 7:15. Can you imagine all around the world these resurrected saints will sit in judgment over all the affairs of the nations as a part of reigning with Jesus Christ from Jerusalem? No more supreme courts. No more arbitrary judges. Saints. Resurrected saints. Who knows? Maybe the Lord gives Abraham some place to judge. Just as much as he gives Stephen, and others of these glorious martyrs through the centuries. They become the judges. Because affairs are still going on the earth. Nations still are nations. Israel is still Israel. Jerusalem, there is geography. It's the world. But it is a world now ruled by the righteous who follow the Lord Jesus. This sounds strange, doesn't it? You'll have to go home and think, did I miss something tonight? What did I hear? Sadly, something that preachers have been not good to declare. If you're going to declare the whole counsel of God, this is part of it. Amen. And this is a part of holy history. There will also be great judgments during this time. Following the great trouble and great tribulation, the Lord Jesus said it's like none other that's ever been on the earth. Terrible, horrible times yet to come. There'll be judgments. There'll be a judgment of the nations. At the end of the millennial reign, there will come the great white throne judgment of all those dead who have not believed. And the books will be opened. And those whose name is not written in the book of life are thrown in hell. The Lord Jesus comes back as a righteous, sovereign dictator. He is in charge. He has all authority. He has all power. He has at his disposal the angels of God, the saints of God reigning with him. This is the glorious future of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, the reign of Jesus Christ on the earth will be a time of creation, earthly renewal, prosperity, righteousness, peace, and international harmony on the earth. Who deserves more than the Lord Jesus, the creator of all things, to again make things right that have been destroyed because of the sinfulness of man in the garden? Who better than the Lord Jesus, the creator of all things? Are you hearing me, folks?
Amen. Amen.
The one who made them all.
Yep.
Who created all of these things. The genius of the glorious creation of God that still baffles the biologist and makes people wonder at how things could be in such order. Why, we even had people driving around with crazy glasses and trying to look at the sun and the moon crossing each other. And it all stays in orbit, doesn't it? And it all rotates as it should. And Paul says about our Lord, the Lord Jesus, this is quite important now, with all of you who know your science, the Lord Jesus holds all things together.
Amen.
That's quite a statement. Have you ever thought about the cosmic power of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who else deserves to stand and sit on the throne in Jerusalem rather than the Lord Jesus? No one.
Amen.
He is the promised one. Sometimes this is called the regeneration. You see, the Lord Jesus says it in Matthew 19:28, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory. The regeneration is a word used. It was used among the Jews, known very well among the Jews. It's a rabbinic statement. The regeneration had to do with this time of Messiah on the earth. That certainly didn't happen when the Lord came at the cross. Wait a minute. When He was dying on the cross, it got very dark. And the earth shook. Creation was shocked by the death of the Son of God and the Son of Man. In the last days, Isaiah 2, I'm just giving you these phrases. In the last days, you see, this is Isaiah saying this. in the last days. Now, what do we hear in the New Testament? The Lord starts talking about it, the apostles, and I'm saying it to you. We're living in the last days. It has been extended in these days of grace. My dear friends, Peter's trying to say it. The Lord is not willing that any should perish from any generation, but that all people might have the opportunity to be saved. We're living now in these last days. John the Apostle calls it the last hour. What a statement, the last hour. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established, and all nations will flow into it. Everybody will be making their trip to Jerusalem. Who will you go to see? The Lord Jesus Christ, sitting in glorious authority in Jerusalem. Well, let's read now from these strange words in Isaiah 65. They're there under your notes. Isaiah 65. I'll leave you to read Isaiah 35 on your own, but let's listen to these words now. Now Isaiah starts seeing things that are glorious that cannot hardly be imagined. We read them now. Remember, they're prophetic words. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. Before the literal new heaven and new earth, there is a new creation happening when the Lord Jesus, when the creator of the world comes back to the earth, listen, it affects the earth. The devil's locked up. Are you listening? There's no devil to bother. He's chained up for 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Now let's read it. For behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and the former things will not be remembered or come to mind. This is what's going to be happening now during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. This is God speaking. For behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing and her people for gladness. Jerusalem, listen folks, Jerusalem's never had a happy day. You've read your Old Testament. Jerusalem's never had a happy day except one day when the Lord Jesus on that donkey came up that hill and they said, the words that are only spoken to the Messiah, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Are any of you people with me tonight? Hear what I'm saying? That's the only great day Jerusalem ever had.
Amen.
Jerusalem has lived in misery. You who walked with me through Lamentations, do you not remember what we heard and what Jeremiah saw with his own eyes of the utter destruction, starvation, cannibalism of the Jews when they were shut off and being taken control by their enemies? Jerusalem's never had a good day except the day when the Lord Jesus came to Jerusalem, spoke words of life in the temple. But what happened in Jerusalem outside the gates? They crucified the Son of God in Jerusalem. And what did the Lord say to those women crying on the way to the cross? Don't cry for me. Cry for yourself. Sorrowful, terrible days. Look. For behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing and her people for gladness. And I will also rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. And there will be no longer... And there will no longer be heard in her the voice of weeping and the sound of crying. No longer will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days. Listen, this is the millennial reign. Look what happens. Children that die early in infancy, no more. No more. An old man who does not live out his days, no longer will there be an old man who does not live out his days. There still will be death. But it will be extended, life extended beyond our imagination. For the youth will die at the age of 100. And the one who does not reach the age of 100 will be thought accursed. They will build houses and inhabit them. What's going on during the millennial reign? All of these things. They're building houses, they inhabit them. They will not plant and another eat, for as the lifetime of a tree, so will be the days of my people, and my chosen ones will wear out the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they are the offspring of those blessed by the Lord, and their descendants with them. It will also come to pass. This is now coming. That before they call, wait a minute, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. During the millennial, people will say, Lord, and before they can say it, God answers. Are you hearing me tonight? The wolf and the lamb will graze together. You biologists in here, that's a problem in the world today, isn't it? A wolf and a lamb. You don't usually run them together, do you? The wolf and the lamb will graze together, and the lion will eat straw. The lion will eat straw like an ox. And dust will be the serpent's food. They will do no evil or harm in my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is what's coming. Prosperity. Prosperity, earthly renewal, righteousness, peace, international harmony on the earth. Also, and this will be our final one for tonight, we'll pick up next week, Lord willing, the reign of Jesus Christ on the earth will place Israel in her leadership and service to the nations from Jerusalem. What do we read through Isaiah? You notice there are two servants in Isaiah? We've been talking about this the whole time. The servant that God looked to Israel to be, a servant to the nations, to tell them of the great things of God. But what did Israel do? Rejected that role, rejected and disobeyed God, and continued to be disobedient. If you go back, even in your, just thumbing through your Bible from where we looked last week in Isaiah 66, where the Lord Jesus is declaring His ministry, the Spirit of the Lord, Isaiah 61, Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I mean, we looked at that. Then we begin to see God's judgment on the nations in chapter 63. And then we have this prayer, a rebellious people in chapter 65. Again, the children of Israel refused to be the servant children of God. But in those days, the Lord Jesus in Jerusalem will reign, and Israel. Remember, this is what Paul talks about in Romans, which is so greatly misunderstood and used in such strange ways in his section on Romans 9, 10, and 11. So this picture is about Israel has been blinded for a season. Look, folks, God has things to yet finish with the nation of Israel. Israel and the church are different things. They're not the same. There are things yet to be done among the Jewish people because promises were made. And God always keeps His promise. Amen. And Amen. Some of them are not done yet. So you see, the nations will see your righteousness and all the kings your glory. Isaiah 62. The nations will see your righteousness. There will be righteousness in Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus is there. The Jewish people will become now, they will fulfill their role as God has designed for them to be. God made a promise to Abraham. You better, look, that didn't go away. We've been grafted in, we Gentiles. We are truly children of God. We are, praise God, in a very real sense, the spiritual offspring of Abraham. But unless you're a Jew here tonight, there are still issues to deal with the Jewish people. Oh, how the Jewish people have still, the majority of Jews are atheists today in Jerusalem, all across Israel. The Jewish people hate that God would have done and let happen to their people and all of their families the horrible things that have happened in repeated generations. There are some who are Orthodox Jews, but it is very few. But yet the Lord Jesus will come again and he will deal. And what does Paul say? Are you listening? All Israel will be saved. Does that mean every person? No. But they will bow their knee and they will confess Yeshua is Lord. Jesus, Yeshua is Lord. There's a lot to be done. There's much that will happen politically. This is a political issue. This is a geographical issue. This is a worldwide global event. When the Lord will have compassion, the whole world will be at rest. I know. Okay. It's 7:32, and I know we've got to go, but I must read this. What a wonderful, wonderful verse this is. I want to read it to you, and we'll let this be our final word. It's in Isaiah 66. It's down there under the place of Israel and their role. Isaiah 66:10. Notice, be joyful with Jerusalem and rejoice, for all you who love her. That'll be a special time. I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. You will be comforted in Jerusalem. So tonight, I give you a great old hymn from one of my favorite hymn writers. We don't know much about Horatius Bonar. He's wonderful. He was a wonderful man of God. His hymn, A Thousand Years. Lift up your heads, desponding pilgrims. Give to the winds your needless fears. He who hath died on Calvary's mountain soon is to reign a thousand years. Tell the whole world the blessed tidings. Speak of the time of rest that nears. Tell the oppressed of every nation, Jubilee, Jubilee lasts a thousand years. What if the clouds do for a moment hide the blue sky where morn appears? Soon the glad sun of promise given rises to shine a thousand years. Haste ye along, O age of glory. Haste the glad time when Christ appears. Oh, that I may be one found worthy to reign with him a thousand years. A thousand years, earth's coming glory. 'Tis the glad day so long foretold. 'Tis the bright morn of Zion's glory. Prophets foresaw in times of old. To the praise of the glory of His grace, I tell you, dear friends, time has not stopped. The Lord Jesus is near to the door, nearer today than yesterday. He is about to come, and when He comes with the angels in glory, and He comes to judge the nations and to sit enthroned and to make things right in this world. Amen. That has gone so wrong. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you, my brother. God bless you all. And have a great evening. And Lord willing, see you Sunday.